गुणा प्रवाहेन विभक्त वीर्यः सर्गादि अनिहो वितथापि संधेर आत्मेश्वरोतर्क्य सहस्र शक्तिः. What for word meaning? Saha, that very person. Eva, certainly. Vishvasya, of the universe. Bhavan, you. Vidate, carry on. Guna pravahena, by the interactions of the modes. Vibhakta, divided. Viryaha, your energy. Sarga Adi, the creation and so on. Aniha, the non-doer. Avitatha, not futile. Abhisandhi, your determination. Atma Ishvaraha, the Lord of all living entities. Atarkya, inconceivable. Sahasra, thousands. Shaktihi, possessing energies. Translation. My dear Lord, although personally you have nothing to do, you have distributed your energies in the interactions of material modes of nature. And for that reason, the creation, maintenance and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation takes place. My dear Lord, you are self-determined and are the Supreme Personality of Godhead for all living entities. For them, you created this material manifestation. And although you are one, your diverse energies can act multifariously. This is inconceivable to us. Can you read the translation? My dear Lord, although personally you have nothing to do, you have distributed your energies in the interactions of material modes of nature. And for that reason, the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation takes place. My dear Lord, you are self-determined and are the Supreme Personality of Godhead for all living entities. For them you created this material manifestation. Although you are one, your diverse energies can act multifariously. This is inconceivable to us. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The statement made in this verse by Devahuti that the Absolute Truth has many diverse energies, although he personally has nothing to do, is confirmed in the Upanishads. There is no one greater than him, or on equal level with him, and everything is completely done by his energy, as if by nature. It is understood herein, therefore, that although the modes of material nature are entrusted to different manifestations like Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, each of whom is particularly invested with different kinds of power, the Supreme Lord is completely aloof from such activities. Devahuti is saying, although you personally are not doing anything, your determination is absolute. There is no question of your fulfilling your will with the help of anyone else besides yourself. You are, in the end, the Supreme Soul and the Supreme Controller. Your will, therefore, cannot be checked by anyone else. The Supreme Lord can check others' plans, as it is said, man proposes and God disposes. But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead proposes, that desire is under no one else's control. He is absolute. We are ultimately dependent on Him to fulfill our desires. But we cannot say that God's desires are also dependent. That is His inconceivable power. That which may be inconceivable for ordinary living entities is easily done by Him. And in spite of His being unlimited, He has subjected Himself to being unknown from the authoritative scriptures like the Vedic literatures. It is said, Shabda Mulatvat, He can be known through the Shabda Brahma or Vedic literature. Why is the creation made? Since the Lord is the Supreme Personality Godhead for all living entities, He created this material manifestation for those living entities who want to enjoy or lord it over material nature. As the Supreme Godhead, He arranges to fulfill their various desires. It is confirmed also in the Vedas, Eko bahunam yo vidadati kama. The Supreme One supplies the necessities of many living entities. There is no limit to the demands of different kinds of living entities. And the Supreme One, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, alone maintains them and supplies them by His inconceivable energy.
Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Amano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये पंचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभेव च पतितानाम पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all senior devotees. To glorify Srimad Bhagavatam, to speak something relevant. This subject matter, which is a new chapter has started, where now Mother Devahuti is offering her prayers after she is fully satisfied by her inquiries from her own son, Lord Kapila. She comes to a realization in the previous chapters. It all explained that perfection of her life is actually devotion to her own son. So when she realizes, now she has come to that realization, and then seeing her son as the Supreme Lord, she is offering these amazing prayers. In unveiling his lotus feet, Burjan Prabhu is mentioning, when he's just explaining that the burning fire of ignorance of Devahuti is extinguished by Lord Kapila's explanation of the Sankhya philosophy. So, even though she is the Supreme Lord's mother, still she posed as if an ignorant person for benefit of all of us, so that this amazing teachings of Lord Kapila can be said. So, her burning fire of that ignorance is extinguished. Where the whole Sankhya philosophy is given, which is none other than Bhakti Yoga, which leads to devotion, or which is devotional service. So, this is Prabhupada is actually opening the purport by directly explaining how the Lord has many diverse energies, although He personally has nothing to do. He's quoting Upanishad, where He's explaining, if a common man who's having an impersonal understanding of the Lord, and they read this translation, that you have distributed your energies in the interactions of material modes of nature. So, when we are talking about Lord has distributed His energies, a sense, some people who doesn't understand how He is the Supreme Person simultaneously, and His energies are taking care of the whole material creation and spiritual world also. It's very common for people like that to understand that when He is distributed, His personal existence is no more there, because He is distributed fully Himself in His energies. Whereas of course we know that and the Devahuti is glorifying her own son, Lord Kapila Devi. Lord Kapila Devi is right in front of her.
as a person whom she is glorifying and saying that you as a person is distributing your energies, but still as a person, as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are present in front of me. Our future verses will explain her more bewilderment, how she is so bewildered that how come, like in verse 2, previous verse which Manmohan Prabhu was explaining yesterday, that even though you are born, even though Lord Brahma is born from your navel, even the whole material cosmic manifestation is there within you, the bewildering thing for me is, how come you have taken birth from my womb? So it's very difficult to understand this inconceivable potency of the Lord. How he is so great and then how he accepts a position like that. If you see Kunti Maharani's prayers, in many of the verses, she is also expressing her bewilderment by seeing the Lord's activities. How she, in one of the verses she says, how even the fear personified is fearful of you, but just by your mother's love, she just comes and ties you. The Damodar month will come soon. The pastime of Krishna being tied by Mother Yashoda. And in other verses also, she is showing her bewilderment. That it's so bewildering that how you, who's so great, who's so amazing, so inconceivable, is conceived. So we'll go further in the purport also. Prabhupada is talking about how this inconceivable Lord is conceived through Vedas, Shabda Brahman. So in the purport further to that, Prabhupada is explaining how the Supreme Lord, there is no one greater or equal to him. You know, there is a term, one of the names of the Lord, you can say, is Asam Urdhava. Asam means there is no one equal. Urdhava means there is no one greater than him. So there is no one equal, there is no one greater than the Supreme Lord. You know, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna actually very clearly mentions, there is a nice verse where he says, Mata paratram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. There is no truth superior to me. So he confirms this statement. He confirms his own name where he's saying there is no truth superior to me. If every morning when we read Vaishnava Prad to the holy names, the offenses to the holy names, we read the second offense is considering the names of demigods to be equal or independent name of the names of Supreme Lord. That's the second offense we read every morning. Because there is no one equal or superior to the Lord. Where is the question of being independent? Because it's Him who through His energies is controlling the whole creation. So, further in the purport it says, it's very actually an amazing purport. If you have access to that, you can read side matter with me. Although you personally are not doing anything, your determination is absolute. There is no question of your fulfilling your will with the help of anyone else besides yourself. You are in the end the supreme soul and the supreme controller. Your will therefore cannot be checked by anyone else. While preparing, when I was reading this purport, story of when Lord Balram killed that Roma Harsana Suta just came to my mind. Because when Lord Balram, before the battle of Kurukshetra started, he decided that I am not going to fight. And he went for a pilgrimage as an excuse or whatever reason for all these pastimes to take place also. He left. He didn't want to participate because both the families were his relatives on both the sides, Pandavas and Kauravas. So when he went for the pilgrimage, then he went to the place where this meeting was happening. And now this Roma Harsana Suta was given, who was a disciple of Vyasadeva, was given this elevated seat of sitting on the Vyasasana and then speaking to the great sages. So now this Roma Harsana Suta, even though not actually qualified, when Lord Balram entered the place, all the great sages, they got up to receive Lord Balram. So those who were superior to him in age, elderly sages, they also got up in respect of Lord Balram and they gave their blessings to Lord Balram. And the junior ones, they also got up and they took blessings of Lord Balram. But now this Roma Arsana Sutta, who was sitting on the Vyasasana, thinking that he is superior to Lord Balaram, and thinking that when I am sitting on Vyasasana, there is no need for me to give respect to anyone. Actually, this is a system. If someone is sitting on Vyasasana, then if any normal person comes, there is no need for him to get up or give respects. But if the spiritual master comes, or the spiritual master of the universe comes, Lord Balaram came, then it was meant for him to give respect. So Lord Balaram sensed that this person is not qualified to sit here. And with just by striking a kusha grass, Lord Balaram killed Roma Arsana Sutta. So that was, here it says, your will therefore cannot be checked by anyone else. So Lord Balaram decided he just killed Roma Arsana Sutta. But all the brahmanas there, they became disturbed. They said it was our blessings. We gave him long life. We gave him full strength of the senses to sit, and for many, many years he would be giving us katha. He'll be speaking to us. He'll be discussing Bhagavad Katha, or whatever they were discussing. So now, but you have killed him. Now this person is dead. But they immediately, if you read in Krishna book, it says, it comes very nicely, it appears that they are contradicting immediately themselves, but it's not contradiction. They are expressing themselves, and then immediately they are glorifying Lord Balaram also. He said, but your will no one can check. You are the Supreme Lord. If you have decided, we'll not change it. But because you are doing a human pastime, you are appearing as a human, you have to set standards for that also. So now you do something, we will not tell you what to do. Literally they are saying like that. We will not suggest you what to do. You only decide how you want to atone for it. You take that decision. It's your decision. So Lord Balaram says that yes, even though these rules don't apply for me, because how can you check my will? You know, I'm the Supreme Lord. It's not that Lord Balaram did that and then he realized, oh, I did a mistake by killing Roma Arsana Sutta, and now he's atoning for his mistake. No, he's absolute. His every action, every statement, every move is absolute, and no one can check it. No, there is no mistake, or there is no repentance after that required for his actions. So then they're telling. Then Lord Balaram said, "Okay, if you want these sages, if you want, I can give back life to this Roma Arsana Sutta, and then he can continue." Now sages are saying, "No, we don't want you to change your will. It's your will." But you do something, you repent. And then Lord Balaram decides, okay, I'll give that same age, same potency, all the blessings to his son. The name of his son is Ugrasrava Sutta. So then he became, because Lord Balaram gave an argument that son is as good as father. So then the son came, and then he continued the discourse from there on, and all the powers of the senses, strength to the senses, long life, everything was given to the son. So this, because when I read this question came to my mind that Lord Balaram's decision was also checked. But then when I went and started reading it, then I understood it wasn't checked, because the Brahmanas supported it, and Prabhupada very clearly explained in Krishna book. So I was thinking that's interesting. So then when the further in the purport is, it says that his inconceivable power. Where is it? Yeah. That which may be inconceivable for ordinary living entities is easily done by him. That which is inconceivable for ordinary living entities is easily done by him. When you're explaining to a new person about how creation takes place, how from the pores of Mahavishnu, unlimited universes are coming, you know, it's like, it appears mythological, it appears a story, it's a fiction story you're telling. It's so difficult to figure this out, that exactly how it's happening. Because it's very inconceivable. We know that from pores something can come out, and that is our bad smelling sweat. But the universe is coming out from the pores of someone, okay, he may be great, but millions of unlimited universes coming out, it's very inconceivable to understand that. And then he himself comes and enters each of the universe, and then he enters each of the atom, each of the living entity. It's very difficult, very inconceivable. But which is very inconceivable for us, it's very easy for him to do. As when a devotee at least theoretically understands and is convinced of this inconceivable nature of the Supreme Lord, immediately he takes a very high jump in his devotion to the Lord, because he understands that there is someone so great that I can take shelter of. There is someone who is so superior, so inconceivable actually, that it's better I just surrender unto him than running my brain through, putting so much of my energy from my intelligence to figure this person out. Very difficult. It requires a lot of faith and purification. But most of the people we see, whether it's we are talking to someone from Indian background or we are talking to someone from Western background, we feel ourselves uncomfortable to talk about these things to them. Understanding that, who will understand this? How will they be able to understand this? Very difficult concept. So then we talk about soul, body. Once they are convinced of that, then gradually some prasadam, purification happens. It's a long process. You know, you're telling someone that interplanetary travel is there. Eagle flies and eats elephants. You know, it's hard to understand. You know, planet to planet, eagles are flying and eating elephants. Immediately they reject. You know, this is. And I personally know people, devotee families, kids, on this one point, they use this point to reject. I don't know who told them, they must have heard this line from somewhere that eagles are flying from one planet to another eating elephants. So this is, what type of philosophy is this? And one devotee told Prabhupada also this, that how should we explain, or I told this to another person about this thing. He said, Prabhupada said, in all the Vedic literatures, you found that point only to discuss. you could have discussed something else, you know, something more relevant to that person. Why are you discussing that eagles are flying from one planet to other eating elephants? It's very difficult to understand. It's not easy. So, when we see the devotees of the Lord, what to speak of the Supreme Lord, but when we see the devotees of the Lord doing so many inconceivable things, for us, common people who are having access to them, who can see them really in front of us, moving in action, also increases our faith that yes, whom they are worshipping must be unlimitedly inconceivable when the devotees are so inconceivable. That's why when people met Srila Prabhupada, when they saw his personality, when they came in contact with him, when we devotees read or hear about him, a similar impact happens on us. That, you know, so many times, hundreds and hundreds of times, we have heard a 70-year-old man going to US preaching. In 1 year he was unsuccessful. Then now 1966 onwards, devotees started coming, and then he started preaching in 10 years, 14. Times world tour and 108 temples and thousands of disciples. Because we've heard it so many times, we lose the inconceivable nature of it. How inconceivable it is that what he has done. You know, a small pastime will tell, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj says that. For me it was very surprising when I heard that. Before becoming a devotee, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was meeting many gurus, associating with them. In his words, he says, I had many spiritual masters before even coming to meeting devotees. So now he's in US. He is taking from a couple of years or maybe more than that. He is taking guidance of one of his spiritual masters who is a mystic yogi, who had a lot of powers, literally, who could read mind and very powerful person. Maharaj was, before becoming a devotee, was under his shelter, and there were many others also. So Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj says that all the time while speaking, this person would tell that I am not your guru. I am not your guru. And then still he would train him or teach him whatever yoga science he knew to whatever degree. And then sometimes he would say, when Maharaj would call him as Jagat Guru, because that was a very common used term in those days, now also. One devotee was telling that Prabhupada didn't like him calling as Jagat Guru, because it was so commonly used and very the effect of it, the usage of it was so common, and that Prabhupada didn't like himself to be called as that, because even though he was, but he didn't like, because the effect of that terminology was very lowly used. So when he would refer to his spiritual master as Jagat Guru, he said, "No, I'm not Jagat Guru. There is someone else Jagat Guru." He would just say that mystic yogi, "I'm not Jagat Guru." So then after two and a half years, Maharaj started associating with another spiritual master, another guru, not devotees, someone else. And then he just happened to come and see this previous guru, whom he was still in contact with, this mystic yogi. Then this spiritual master of Bhaktivedanta Swami, he told that, "Do you really want to know who Jagat Guru is? Do you really want to know who can give you perfection?" And Maharaj was saying, I was getting scared, because the force he had in him was so much that then he asked him a few times, "Do you really want to know who can save you, who can take you back home, back to like that? You know, do you really want to know?" And then at the end Maharaj said, "Yes, I want to know." And then he said, the Jagat Guru, not the Jagat Guru, the Jagat Guru of Jagat Guru, the spiritual master of all the spiritual masters, is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And Maharaj is telling, "Who is this person?" Because he doesn't know anything about it. He says that person who founded Hare Krishna movement. And Maharaj said, "My heart was broken when I heard that. Those people who wear bed sheets and who were running around on the street, their spiritual master is the spiritual master of the whole universe, of the spiritual masters." He said, "I was so heartbroken when I heard that." He said, "Yes." And then when he said Prabhupada, then Maharaj said, it started clicking me that many times that mystic yogi would refer in his talk, Prabhupada says like that, many years before when he was associating with him. He said, then it clicked me that, oh, he was always in touch with his teachings. So the amazing thing with this yogi said to Prabhupada was that, till now, I was preaching, but when I got to know that he has come to West, I have stopped preaching, because Jagat Guru has come now. So I have stopped preaching. So then Maharaj went to the devotees, took all the books, started reading. And then he says that more he read, more his conviction was increasing that, yes, it's Srila Prabhupada who is my spiritual master, who is the spiritual master of the spiritual masters. So then after he had read most of the books which were available at that time, he went back to that again, this yogi again. And he went and he said, "I have to ask you some question." So this person became so furious that he started blasting him, that you have access to Jagat Guru and you are coming to me. You have access to Srila Prabhupada and you are coming to me and asking me a question. He said, "Till now the reason I trained you was that because you were not ready. You were not ready to accept Srila Prabhupada as a spiritual master. I trained you because you had all these subtle desires in you to learn all these things, to bring you up to that level where you can appreciate Srila Prabhupada. Now go back and never come back to me for asking anything." So that was Maharaj's experience about Srila Prabhupada's, his own guru. And I was very curious to know more details about that person, who actually that person was. Because there is no account that we know that he became devotee or something later or whatever. At least not in ISKCON. So I don't know who that person was, but I was very curious to know more about him also. How he knew all so much about Prabhupada, what powers. Must be having amazing powers, who could understand. Must be a very sincere, genuine guru on his own level also, who was directing him like that. So, you know, there is another devotee. This is a very nice pastime. There was another devotee who was mentioning that while he was massaging Srila Prabhupada once, Srila Prabhupada was on his stomach, face down, and he was massaging the feet of the Prabhupada. And then he saw a bunch of group of ants crawling towards his feet or on his feet. So now he saw so many ants coming to his feet. So now he stopped massaging because he doesn't want to kill ants. So he's just with his hand moving the ants away. So he's just making these gestures, and then Prabhupada is just saying, because Prabhupada cannot see what he's doing. So he's saying, why are you not massaging? Why did you stop massaging? So he said, Prabhupada, there are some ants on your body. Then Prabhupada got up and he saw there's like all the ants are spread everywhere and on his feet. And this devotee says, I saw with my own eyes. I saw with my own eyes. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not joking. I saw with my own eyes. Prabhupada did like this. They will all go. And all the ants which are spread everywhere, they made one line and they started walking. So they started walking and they went in the direction Prabhupada pointed them to. Just go. So very, you know, you hear these pastimes and then, of course, this may have some mystical thing in it, but establishing pure devotion in the society where no one is interested, no one is interested to give up their sinful habits, what to speak of doing something for only for other person's pleasure, only doing everything for Krishna's pleasure. It's very, very, it's a big, big jump. It's a very big jump. And that's why when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, many, because he was an elderly Swami, many Swamis who were already in US, they came to see Prabhupada and to give their own suggestions, to give their own, they wanted to help him grow. Like one of us have come, our own person has come from India. So they suggested Prabhupada that you might have to change your clothes, you might have to eat with knife and spoon or fork, and you might have to eat meat if required, because this is the generation, this is the population here in US. Don't be very strict, don't give any rules and regulations. Just you also get accustomed to what they do, then it's easy for you to get followers. And Prabhupada made a very strong point, which is something for us to also keep in mind as we are preaching. And as we are following in his own line, Srila Prabhupada's preaching mission, we are also trying to push. He said that I am not interested in useless stars in the sky who cannot give even light to the dark night. I am here to preach to one moon which is enough to give light to the whole dark night. So I am here to just make one pure devotee of Krishna. If I make one devotee of the Lord, pure devotee of the Lord, my mission is successful. I am not here for many useless followers to increase the numbers. So that's not my purpose of coming to the West. Very powerful actually. It's very inconceivable how, on what level he was operating. What to speak of the Lord then, whom he is devotee of. You know, some people, for argument's sake, they say, when the hunter shot Krishna on his feet, Lord Krishna died. And his body was left, and then they did all the cremation ceremony. After he left his body, the whole thing happened. They give this argument to say that Krishna was a human like us, and then who had some extra powers or whatever. But it's amazing to see that same person's devotees, we have example of Mirabai, who went and with herself same body ran into the deity of Krishna and disappeared. We know Saint Tukaram in Maharashtra, who in front of his whole village, in his self same body, he went back to Vaikuntha. If you see Lord Chaitanya and not see him as Krishna, who is the Supreme Lord, if you see him as devotee also, he also disappeared, went into the body. So the person whom they are devotee of, he leaves the body, and then you do cremation of that person, and the devotees, they go with the body, means their body becomes spiritualized and they go to the spiritual world with their self same body. So very inconceivable pastimes of the Lord. Very difficult to understand why he does what he does. What is the reason for him to act like that? Why is he acting like that? It's because he is bewildering the atheistic class, that you remain atheistic. You remain atheistic. Because that's what you want to do. So as a Supreme Lord, I'm just favoring you, that you can, your confusion remains. You be confused seeing my activity, seeing my pastimes. So, you know, this is a nice pastime where Narad Muni and Lord Krishna come to see, they come to the material world, and they, Krishna is asking Narad Muni, do I still have devotees here? And Narad Muni says, yes, so many. You have so many devotees here. So Krishna says, I want to see them. Then Narad Muni says that if you want to see your devotees, then you have to dress like a common man, like a sadhu. Otherwise, if you go as Krishna, then how will you see? You know, it's difficult. People will go crazy. So he dressed like a sadhu, comes with Narad Muni. So they go to a wealthy man. And what this wealthy man would do is, every single day, every morning, he would distribute charity to the sages from 7 to 10 in the morning. So whatever the saintly people, the sadhus, the beggars would come and ask for, he would give. Whatever, like, means they would ask anything, he would give. He was so wealthy and so charitable. So now, when Krishna and Narad Muni went, they went little late. The time was up. So the gatekeeper stopped them, and he was very rude. Hey, you beggars, where are you going? He said, we just want just something to eat, some roti dal. Please tell Sedji to give. He said, no, time is over. It's more than 10 o'clock now. Sedji is not going to give you anything now. He said, no, we just want this much only. We are very hungry. Please give something. He said, no. Sedji, every morning 7 to 10, distributes whatever you all beggars ask, whatever you all sadhu log ask. After 10 o'clock, it's his time to be with his family and enjoy. So don't disturb Sedji now. For anything, he'll not come out now. For anything. So then Krishna is looking at Narad Muni. They both are looking at each other and they're disappointed. They're coming out. And Narad Muni heard Krishna murmur some blessings for this wealthy man. So Krishna says, may this wealthy man's wealth increases multiple folds. So Narad Muni is taken aback. You know, we are thrown out of this place, Krishna. We are kicked out, literally. And you are saying, may his wealth increase so many times. Krishna says, are all my devotees like this only, or there is some better quality also? So Narad Muni says, no, there is a very nice lady, we'll go there. So they go to old lady's house. She is very poor. And what she has is, she has one cow, who is also not very young, but she can still give milk. She has one young son. So then Krishna goes there, and as soon as they are going as sadhu, she doesn't know who Krishna is, Narad Muni is. So they both go as sadhu. And when they go there, then she is so much welcoming. And they say, we just want to eat something, we are very hungry. So then she immediately starts cooking with whatever little she had, some roti dal she had. And then she went to the cow and she is glorifying the cow. This cow is so kind. Whenever we are in need, she gives some milk. So she gave some milk. She got some milk, roti dal for Krishna. And whole day I'm just doing a bhajan. And then, you know, how old ladies, you know, all the tantara, ta 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 ta. She's just talking to Krishna. And then Krishna is also listening very patiently. She's very devotional, very, very devotional. So this is my young son, always serving me, never refuses any service to me. And this cow, so she's very much devotional, glorifying the Lord, and she's glorifying the son and cow also. So both became very satisfied after eating. Then they come out, and then Krishna murmurs blessings. May the son and the cow die. Now Narad Muni is surprised. You know, Krishna, first you stop and tell me. I cannot believe you, you know. That person who kicked us out, you are saying, may his wealth increase. This lady who fed us, you are saying, may the son and cow die. So he says, Narada, you cannot understand. This is my inconceivable blessings. Mercy upon my devotees. Everything about the Lord is inconceivable. It's very hard. Unless one actually... Hare Krishna. Unless one actually has transcendental vision. to see how the Lord is operating. So then Lord says that this person is so proud of his wealth, and what he wants to do is just give charity and enjoy in future lives also, with his family, within the material world. And that's why he's giving charity. So let him rot here. Keep giving charity, at least some benefit he'll get. And I'll give him more and more wealth. Let him just be charitable. At least sages will be benefited. And let him rot here, enjoy with his family. Birth after birth after birth. But this old lady, she's very close to come to me. And her only attachment is the son and the cow. So, because of her devotion, I'm so obliged that I've decided to release her of the son and cow's attachment. So they will not be there. And in this same life, this old lady will come back home, back to Godhead, will get liberation, no more suffering, no more birth again. So then Narada Muni said, who can understand your inconceivable, even blessings? Krishna's blessings also inconceivable. So many of the devotees who try to figure out how to advance in spiritual life, how Krishna is reciprocating, what is good for me, what is not good for me, many of them who depend a lot on their own mind, have a lot of trouble, and they do have a lot of trouble because and they cannot avoid trouble because it's an inconceivable process. We are dealing with a very inconceivable person. The way he deals with this is very inconceivable, and now we go with our own understanding to try to understand this inconceivable personality with his inconceivable ways. And we try to chalk out our own way, thinking that this is under the process of Krishna consciousness, and then achieve some success. Very hard. It doesn't work like that. You know, there, in the end of the purport where it says, Prabhupada is saying, in spite of his being unlimited, he has subjected himself to being known from the authoritative scriptures like Vedic literatures. The Lord, who is so inconceivable, has subjected himself to be understood through scriptures, through Vedic scriptures. And still we get bewildered, because even within scriptures it's bewildering, it's inconceivable how to understand him. Even though he has made himself available in the scriptures, when we read scriptures, then also it's confusing. So it is such a protection of devotees are required all the time around us. All the checks and balances which we really need, because it's very hard to understand how Lord is working through us and what he's trying to teach us, what message are we getting from him, because many devotees, even in their advanced stages, can get confused if they don't have guidance. And we have a very classic example of Bharat Maharaj. Prabhupada says in past times of Bharat Maharaj, if he had association of devotees, he would have checked that mistake which he did on a very advanced stage. What to speak of us, where there is no stage only. We have to look for a stage. Where are we? Apart from this understanding that we need devotees, I'll finish with that story actually. It's an amazing story. Gopandeshpur told the other day. I didn't even take his permission, but I'll tell. how Lord reciprocates, how he has his own ways, but how we cannot understand, and we start judging him or criticizing the arrangements of the Lord. There was one devotee who had he's not new devotee, he's good standing devotee, had a lot of interest in bikes, and he decided that he'll get a sports bike or a good powerful riding bike. And you know, like in Australia also, they have those places where they go for riding in deserts for hundreds and hundreds of kilometers. You are just by yourself and you just ride and you ride. So was it in US, bro? It's in US. So now this person, this devotee, has his bike now with him. And his devotee, it's not that he has fallen down or something, you know. It's not that he's left the process. It's just his desire, very strong desire he has to bike, motorcycle. So now he goes, and for literally hundreds of kilometers, you may not even see anyone. So now this devotee is riding in a deserted area, and he's riding his bike, and then a bike gang comes and they surround him. You know, because they're also enjoying on that area, in that area, they're also riding for. So if your vehicle stops working in such an area, the only option you have is when to die. How long can you survive? Because there is no signal, there is no help, unless someone from somewhere comes there. So now this bike gang comes, they surround this devotee, and they stop him. They take every single thing that he had. They take everything from him, and only he's left with himself is his body and not even a single thread on him. And he's walking in this desert with nothing on. And any direction he sees, he doesn't see anyone. So now he's walking. So for hours he's just walking, you know, where to go? I'm stuck. I'm here alone. So doubt started coming. Does Krishna, is Krishna there? He's not there. He cannot be Supreme Personality of God. Because you're in a situation that you know that soon I'm going to die in such a, in a way which is so, you know, you die out of starvation, out of thirst, alone, and there is nothing. And he says, I've served Krishna for so many years, and this is how I'm going to die, this is how I'm suffering, and nothing on, and you're alone walking on in the desert. And then this person is walking, this is after hours and hours, and in his mind the conclusion is that I've wasted my time, this process is useless, Krishna, there or not there, who knows now, all this. And then he hears Kartal sound. And then he looks, and there is a van coming. In that van, it's a van where devotees have gone for traveling Sankirtan. And they are doing Kirtan in the van. And they come and stop, and they rescue this devotee. In this place, if you haven't seen such place, you cannot imagine what I'm talking about. It's like for hundreds of kilometers, there is no one. So Lord does that. He checks us, then he reinstates us, our faith. And in our lives also, that will happen. He'll put us to tests, put us to test, and then he can play with his devotees the way he does. Be ready for it. It can happen. I think it will happen. But if we have devotee association around us, there is no way protection will not be there. We may do many, many mistakes, and we all do many mistakes. But if there's one mistake we don't do of leaving association of devotees, success is ours. There is no way we can fall short of success. So I'll just stop there. Thank you very much. If any questions or comments or any corrections, you can say, please. Hare Krishna. Granth Rashi Mad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premana.